Hi everyone, and welcome to Conscious Fitness Divine Body, where fitness and wellness means wholeness. Tonight I have the great pleasure to host and receive this great guest, Angela Paragoff. And Angela is not only someone with a great mind out there, but it's as well a friend who was my teacher at some point, and she taught me so much about who I am and how to reconnect with my divine side, and that I felt it was very important to put her on and share her wisdom with you listeners who are looking for the same path and reconnecting with your authentic part. So Angela is not only fantastic in her words, but she's even more fantastic because through watching her living her life, you can actually know that she's not only talking and teaching, she's truly living her way. And that, as a teacher that I became, it became very important for me to truly live the way you're teaching, because this is really the only one true action that you can have upon people, because the teaching that you are doing is should not only go through your words, but you need to embrace them and really live them from the bottom of your heart. And that's what Angela is doing, at least to me. That's how I vibrated with her. So this is really a great honor for me to receive Angela. Angela, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Angie. How are you?
I'm fine, Miss Lou. How are you today?
I'm very well, and I'm so excited to have you here with us and be able to share your wisdom with everyone out there who is listening to us. Angie, you live in Virginia Beach, where we spent some time there for a little while, and beautiful ocean view, and you are there, and you are doing your spiritual work as a counselor, and you also have created this beautiful center for mindful studies that you will be able to talk about a little bit better and deeper in this show, because we all want to know everything pretty much about you today.
Okay.
So the first thing that we will want to know in order for our listeners to really get a little piece of you, it's really, can you share with us your own spiritual journey and kind of give us an outlook of where you're coming from and what you went through to actually live and experience in what you're doing right now?
Certainly. As a soul coming into this earth plane, my spiritual journey got inspired. The path that took me on the path of self-discovery is actually organized religion, because I was raised Catholic. I did have a metaphysical mom. I'm here in Virginia Beach, and at some point, my parents were military. We were a military family, so we moved a lot, but at some point, they were stationed here in Virginia Beach, which is also the home of Edgar Cayce, the great sleeping prophet. And my mother had found them while my brothers and sisters and I were still young, and those teachings resonated with her. So as I grew up, we got a lot of metaphysical teachings. At the same time, I was brought up in a Catholic family, and the real spur, the real moment that got me on my path was that the husband that I'm married to now, when I met him, he was Jewish. And as our relationship developed and we got engaged, and then later started to plan a family, it was important to his family that I commit to raising our children in the Jewish tradition. So I was curious, and I was doing a lot of reading and studying in my late 20s about religion. And I got stubborn, or I got committed, and decided that I was going to get to the bottom line, and I was going to figure out which religion was the true religion. And actually, it was that that started me on my path. That's what threw me into all different kinds of studies. That's actually the impetus that brought forward my first spiritual teacher. And that was back when I was, that was 20 years ago, because that was, I was about 28 years old, and ever since then, I've just been growing and developing, and am now 15 years into being an ordained minister and teaching theology, not organized religion, but spirituality is where I came out. On the other side of that was that every religion has its truth, and that spirituality is the most important component that I can share with people. So that's what I do now.
Very cool. Very good. And so in that path, you obviously have found this mind-body-spirit connection that we are talking about and that everyone is kind of seeking. And what does that mind-body connection vibrate with you? What did you find in your researches and your search for the truth? What did you find that truth was in terms of that connection?
What I found is my questing eventually brought me to a study called Science of Mind. And when I began taking these classes, I was introduced to the concept that we are truly a representation of the one creative spirit of the universe, and that being such, that is our holistic nature, that we are here as a body, mind, spirit, but we are, in fact, representative of that creator energy. So, to me, the body-mind connection is merely living, acting, and expressing holistically. In mainstream society, there seems to be this fragment where you're either a body, a mind, or, you know, a spirit. And so, in my teachings, it's very important that you understand that you are an energy. You're a soul that it comprises these three elements, and from there you can live more holistically. And that all three are tied together intrinsically. You can't have one without the other. So it's important to work on all three aspects, just as you would anything else in your life, and that each one has to have attention and attention and nourishment from you.
Okay. So in that search for this connection, where does intuition comes? Like, where is that notion of intuitive side, intuitive, authentic part comes in order to get to this connection?
Intuition to me is just another sense. We are in this dimension, in third dimension, we are sensory beings, and we have many senses. The intuition, or the sixth sense, as most people have heard of it, is just that. The problem is, in our evolution, was that we haven't been taught how to use it. I was lucky because I had a mother that was tuned in and turned on, and so she never negated or invalidated us as children when we were growing up if we said that we saw invisible things that she couldn't see. So I always had a connection. My connection to that intuition or that sixth sense has never been cut off. I see people mm-hmm. from the other side. I use my intuition just as I'm using my voice to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
So intuition is merely another sense, and how you develop it or how I help people develop it in my practice is that, one, I give them an awareness of what the intuition is, and then where does it come from? Where is that voice? Or many people either hear a voice or they see a picture. Or where are you? When are you seeing that picture? When you ask a question, what is happening for you? So we get very detailed and intricate, and I break the process down so that you can recognize where that intuition is for you. What I find is most people are either a sixth chakra intuitive or a third chakra intuitive, and what that means is you usually see pictures or you hear a thought or you feel it. You feel mm-hmm. the answer to your question, or you feel someone else's answer to a question. Mm-hmm. And that's what intuition is. It's just merely another tool as mm-hmm. you, as a soul, is one of the tools that we have that you most of the time haven't been exposed to or introduced to this lifetime. But it's definitely there. Everybody has it. No one is special because they do have intuition. Some of us are more adept at using it, just like riding a bicycle or ice skating. The more you perfect a skill, the better you get at it. But okay. Everybody has the potential to develop their intuition.
And this is really one of the major tools in order to really find this communication and try to get the message. Like when I always take the example when I first came from France to the United States, and that this language was really what is going on? What are people telling me? I don't understand. I don't understand these words. The world around me didn't make any sense because I didn't have at that time the proper tools to relate to the world and so to this language. And it happens that the more I got familiar, the more practice I had, the more speech I was doing, the more talk I was having with different type of people, and the better I became at speaking it. And then, you know, suddenly the representation of that world around me started to make sense, and now I can obviously speak English in a way that not only I can understand people, but people can understand me, we hope. And so is that the same type of communication that we are talking about?
That's a perfect example. That's a perfect example. And sometimes placing yourself in those situations makes you rely on your intuition more. When we took a family vacation this past June for my son's high school graduation, and we went to Spain and Italy and France, where you're from.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't understand, and you had to trust your gut to get around.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an excellent example, and the more that you are in it and get familiar with it, the better your skills are going to get at it until, like you say, you have a day-to-day relationship now with English, whereas you didn't
totally.
Before you got
exactly.
here.
Exactly.
So yes, it's the same thing.
Okay. Very interesting. And so when that is established, when that connection is there, why is our physical experience important in our spiritual growth from a soul perspective? Like, why is it important for us to not miss the point that we need to embrace truly this existence that we have, those 100, 120 years that we have to experience something in terms of our spiritual growth, but from really a soul perspective.
From the soul's perspective, as I understand it, mm-hmm. we really have a couple of purposes when we come here. Excuse me. Excuse me. One, when you come in, you want to further your own soul evolution as a spiritual being and as a component of the one infinite source. Mm-hmm. And two, usually we are humanitarian, for lack of a better word, we're humanitarian in our goals. So we usually want to come in and add to the greater good of a particular region of the universe that we've decided to come to. And we know in this third dimension on Earth and in the Milky Way galaxy that the evolutionary process is happening very rapidly to come back to an awakening of our true divine heritage. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that that's why a lot of us are here, because you have to incarnate and be in a physical body to anchor divinity here to help the evolutionary process. The other reason why it's important to come into physical form is it's a choice. I mean, when we're in spirit, everything is a lot easier than when we're in third dimension. But there is this allure or fascination from a soul's perspective of coming into form, lowering your vibration enough that you manifest as a physical vessel. Now, mm-hmm. when that happens, when we lower our vibration enough that we can manifest in density, we have to separate from original source. And so mm-hmm. then the mission becomes remembering who you are. And a lot of us have done that, such as you, such as me. And then when we remember it, when we have the awakening, when we understand that we are spiritual beings having an incarnation in a beautiful place such as Earth, then we're able to become a conduit of spirit's velocity and strength and goodness, and then we add to the greater good. Then we bring the vibration of the whole up a bit, and as more and more of us do it, then we can, we're getting close to Easter, then we can resurrect the mm-hmm. light in this place and set it aright. So mm-hmm. that is part of why it's important to also come into physical form, especially in this domain, in the Earth domain. In other domains, it's different, but in this domain, how Gaia or the Earth planet gets a higher vibration as if we act kind of as physical acupuncture points for her. Mm-hmm. So,
very cool.
Yeah.
So with that being said, what is today the biggest challenge, do you believe, that mankind is dealing with now?
Mankind always has lots of challenges, but today, I think mankind's biggest challenge is his remembrance of who he really is. At least that's what I find. I find that when I meet a group of people or my next student shows up that their biggest challenge is that they do not have the awareness of the true entity, the true being that they are. And once they begin to remember, then things move along fairly smoothly. So I would say our biggest challenge is our absence, the absence of our identity, our real identity, or the ignorance of our truest identity. That's our biggest challenge right now.
Mm-hmm. So right now you think, and maybe it's where I come from too, but that in general, most of us have an awareness of being a physical being and thinking that that's what it is, and that there's nothing greater, bigger, wider behind that is actually fueling this physical experience. And it's really the breaking point of that belief system and the remembering, the reconnecting with the fuel that actually creates our physical experience down here, that is that would eventually change the world.
Oh, sure. And more of that is happening, but 30 years ago, when I was a young child, and I had an in-tune mother, but the teachings were not there. We weren't evolved enough to understand, or it wasn't widespread, that we are more than a physical body. Now, in the year 2008, look at what's happening. I mean, more and more people are understanding and waking up to that we are more than just biology. I'm thinking of Oprah and her book of the month that she's doing now with Eckhart Tolle, who is, and they're doing this online classroom, and they're reaching millions of people who are just beginning to get the idea or the thought introduced to them that you are more than your physical personality and your body that walks around every day doing a job or taking care of kids or whatever you do, that you are more than what you see on the surface.
So then the following question that jumped in my mind right now is that, fine, we have tools, we have teachers, we have an awareness, we have so many great minds who have been coming with philosophies and books to explain it. Then from there, we have been in touch. We understand somewhere that there's an authentic part of us, and we are getting in touch with it. How do you hold it? How can you hold this connection without losing it? Like, I have a lot of my clients who are in and out. Like, they are getting this taste of, oh, it does feel good. And then the fear factor is jumping back in it. And then they have this feeling that it's safer to be who they believe they were before because it's known. And so they are getting out of this authentic part. So do you have an advice to give to our listeners to actually really, once you reach that point of remembering that you are as well a spiritual being, how do you hold this place and this connection?
Well, you are exactly right when you say that we jump, especially when we're first introduced to it, we jump back and forth. Because when we begin to open up and have an awareness and we meet these new aspects of ourselves, they are unknown. And because we're human, because we are in a human realm, anytime anything is unknown or unfamiliar, we begin to generate fear and doubt. And so, first of all, you have to understand that that is part of the natural process. And that if you can be comfortable in the fear, and if you can be comfortable in those times when you doubt, you'll move through it quicker. But you have to commit to this path, or you have to commit to your own soul growth. And it's not an easy thing. It takes a long time. That's why we're here for so long. It doesn't, in America, in the United States, we want self-gratification to come faster, quicker, better than it did last year.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, as we evolve, it doesn't take as long as it used to. My students who come to me today can get concepts and ideas and really integrate them down to the physical level much quicker than I did when I began studying in the 1980s, in the mid-1980s. So we are moving along faster, but I always find it interesting and curious when, like, for example, I met with a couple of students who have studied science of mind for a couple of years. And yes, they feel adept at the study and they know a lot, but they wanted to know why, how could they speak to their guides instantaneously. It's like they want to be able to do it in a 2-week period, and it doesn't come that fast. It is a practice. It's a developing a skill just like anything else, and you have to commit to it. If I decided I was going to run a 25-mile marathon in the fall, I would have to commit to developing the endurance, developing the skill, getting my time down, and commit to the time that it takes to make those things happen so that I can reach that goal in the fall. And it's the same thing with our spiritual practice, with any aspect, whether your goal is soul remembrance or intuition or talking to the guides that walk with you each day, or tuning into the mind of source energy. It's a discipline, and it's a practice, and it doesn't come in a fast food kind of way where you just drive up to the little box and say what you want and then drive around the corner and it's handed to you. It can take a long time, so you have to develop a discipline and a practice. But at the same time, as soon as you ask, it's given. And then it's up to you, it's up to each soul, as to how long you want to have that go on.
Mm.
So it's like any other goal that you want to establish. It depends on your determination.
All right. Well, listeners, have you heard that? It's about commitment and discipline. And when I was a personal trainer, those two words were really what I was constantly harassing my clients with. Because, you know, in terms of developing your spiritual connection, this is the same as developing your physical strength, your physical endurance, your physical flexibility. In order to change the body, anyone can do it. Anyone can do it. However, it does take discipline and commitment on a daily basis. So we're coming down into to the same place where commitment and disciplines are the two components to any type of altering life experience in terms of knowing the self, in terms of spirituality or physicality, which is very interesting.
Yeah, remember Aileen, that's how I met Aileen, was I got referred to her when I was looking for a personal trainer. And I used to say to you all the time, this is no different than a spiritual practice.
Exactly.
I didn't like it when I would walk in and you would tell me we were going to do 25 sit-ups, 25 leg lifts, 25 bicep curls.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how we develop the muscle. And
definitely.
It's the same thing in spiritual practice. If you
what a result we had.
Yes.
What a result.
But you are exactly right. People don't get it that's the kind that you have to show. All you have to do is show up and say, this is what I'm going to do. I'm ready.
Exactly.
I'm ready to do it and make the commitment.
Yes, and it is really to understand that as well as you know, for the physical part, the trainer cannot do the work for the person who wants to change, and so it is the same as the spirit in a spiritual dimension. The teacher, the counselor, the master, whoever you wish to follow and to be guided with, cannot do the work for you. You have that necessity to claim it as that is the work I am going to do because that makes sense to me, you know, for whatever goal I decide to put out there.
Yeah, remember, I would say to you all the time, I am happy to share with you my journey. I'm a human. I am human in this realm. And you're right. I can't do it for you, but I will journey with you, and I will share with you my life. I will open up my life and let you see how it's done. You know, and I'll share my wisdom with you.
Yeah.
I will share my thoughts with you, and then you follow.
Exactly. And it does work because, again, like I was saying at the beginning of the show, and it's with what is tremendous about you. It's because you're not only teaching it and knowing it from a conceptual point of view and a mental dimension. You actually experience it truly. You're living and so therefore, every time I remember meeting with you, it was like the proof that it's working. It's like, yes, it does. It's not just people who have written a book that I read and then they do other things in their life. They, you know, it was really this example and of the true walker who has walked the path and is able to talk about it because it does vibrate and resonate with his or, you know, her own life. And I think that's very important to find a teacher or a guide who actually truly lives what is teaching. It has to be. It has to make a sense in order for the follower to be
I
there.
I think that we came in. I know I incarnated at a time. I knew I would have that skill and that talent, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
I made an agreement that I would share that with any other soul that mm-hmm. would need that same inspiration because mm-hmm. I knew I could do it. But I think that, you know, at the time of Jesus, we had to have the kind of teachers and the gurus that we had then. And then we progressed so that we were mystics outside the monastery. And that's mm-hmm. the kind of lifestyle that works for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're now in this generation of spiritual teachers and healers that mm-hmm. are at the same lifestyle, the same level, the same intelligence of everyone else. And that's mm-hmm. the gift, is to show them, if I can do it, you can do it. I'm
Correct.
Living a human life. I'm driving the kids to school every day. I'm going to the grocery store. I'm picking up
mm-hmm.
the cleaning. I'm vacuuming the floors. And I am pursuing the call of my own soul voice
mm-hmm.
and my own
mm-hmm.
spiritual evolution
Definitely.
At the same time.
Yes. And so as we talk about teaching right now, and then do you have, as a spiritual counselor, do you have an advice for parents to help them bring wiser children into this dimension and to make sure to support this consciousness growing that we are getting into? What would you tell a parent on an advice to bring this knowingness of this remembrance of our divine connection?
Well, what I tell parents all the time is that to never invalidate the soul that is in front of you. And even though they're in a smaller physical body, that does not mean That just means they're in a smaller physical body. This is the same, it's the same respect. There should be the same respect there that you have for God, because that is, there is a, an eternal soul that is illuminating that particular life. And if you can affirm that piece of information to your child or to your children, that's the single most important thing that you can do for them, is to simply let them know that you know who they are. When my kids were little, I would roll around and laugh when we were having a good time, and I would say, "Oh, I am so glad that you came to visit me here. I'm so glad that you picked me as your mother." When we were having disagreements or when we were having issues, I would, and mine couldn't quite speak yet or understand, you know, at that 2, 3, 4 age, a piece of advice that Edgar Cayce always gave was that you look the child in the eyes, so that you're looking soul to soul, and you would say, you would preempt whatever you're going to say with, "I know you are not going to comprehend what I'm saying, but the soul, your soul is going to take this in and understand." And so I would do that. I had one child that would wake up with nightmares every night when he was 2 and a half. And he would have these night frights. And none of the medical doctors could help me or anything. So I developed my own little routine. But one of the things, when I would catch him in the middle of the night, I would turn him around and I would look him in the eyes. And the first thing I would do is say, "David, come back. Come back into your body," because they're usually not attached at that point. And I would say the same thing. I would say, "You're not going to understand what I'm telling you, but your soul is going to comprehend everything that I'm translating to you." And then I would explain to him that he was safe and that he was here having a physical incarnation and that he was just having some transitional issues, and you know, it didn't take us long at all, 2 and a half months, 3 months, to cure the night frights.
Very nice.
Yeah, I think if you can just affirm for them that they are an eternal being that has come here to journey with you and to keep you company, and that you have contracted to be the mentoring soul, or the big brother, big sister kind of soul, that that is the greatest service you can give the children, instead of this identity that we seem to claim as a mother or a father, where we get into all the controlling issues. Yes, our job is to control their environment and keep them safe, but we are only vessels for another soul to get to the earth plane in the third dimension. That's all we really are. And then,
and that totally vibrates with you know, what I feel to we as a parents are here for. Definitely, it doesn't make any other sense to than being that that link to them and them being that link to us. Definitely. So thanks for all those great advice and great insight, spiritual insight. But now let's jump into kind of you a little bit more, as your job, what you do, how we can get a hold of you. And like I'm sure our listeners are, "Oh my goodness, I just like what I've just heard. Please, I want to get a hold of you." So why do people get in touch with you as a spiritual counselor, or what do you do?
I teach classes. I teach science of mind classes, and I do one-on-one. It's not coaching. It's I would call it consciousness lifestyle expansion type of thing. if something's not going right in someone's life and they can't figure out what the block is or the their best avenue to overcome the issue, then we will do one-on-one because that's mm-hmm. part of my specialty, is mm-hmm. that I have a pretty good background and skill. I was going to mm-hmm. say talent, but it's more of a skill of going into the subconscious mind and finding out and figuring out where the blocks are that are preventing you. Because when it becomes a conscious block, we can heal it. But when it's an unconscious or a subconscious block that you just don't have an understanding of, that's where I can help.
Mm-hmm.
So,
very cool.
Yeah, so most of the time how people get to me is through the idea that I can teach them how to manifest anything that they want. That's usually mm-hmm. what gets them to come to my door.
Okay.
Because I teach a spiritual philosophy that's based on universal laws and principles, and that your thoughts are things, and I know everybody has seen The Secret, so some of those precepts that were in mm-hmm. that movie are things that I've taught for 15 years now.
Mm-hmm. So is it easier to actually get a hold of you and do those learning from a one-on-one session, like physically, or can anyone give you a call from anywhere around the world and tell you, and you can have that approach with them?
I have talked to people from all over mm-hmm. because and they can get a hold of me through my website. Mm-hmm. Which is www.angelaperegoff.com. Mm-hmm. I have a morning blessing that goes out every day internationally. It goes all over the world now. Mm-hmm. And so I do get phone calls from people that need advice or support. And mm-hmm. so, of course, I take that time. So, no, it doesn't have to be in person. It can be okay. over the phone as well.
Okay. So what is the mission behind those daily blessing, morning blessing?
My contract as a soul here this time has to do with being a teacher of remembrance. I feel that all that I do is that I impart wisdom that you have forgotten, as you as a soul have forgotten. And through my teachings, we link that remembrance of your soul. I become the bridge that links you to your soul once again. And from there, you can go all kinds of places. So my mission with the blessings originally was that my students that I had in my Science of Mind classes, they were a daily reminder of you being an eternal soul, an eternal creator being that is here to conspire and create anything that you want. Mm-hmm. And also in Science of Mind, one of our main tools is called treatment or affirmative prayer. Mm-hmm. And when you take Science of Mind classes, that's one of the things that you learn that the founder, Ernest Holmes, came up with was treatment. And so I also sent the blessings out with a daily prayer so that they could see what one looked like and how it was supposed to flow. Mm-hmm. And it spread from my students to people that they knew, to people that they knew, and before I knew it, within a couple of years, it was traveling all over the globe, and eventually I had to get, its own program, and now it's all automated, and so I still write them and put them up on the internet, and it just reminds you. It's a daily reminder, and it's my tithe. They don't cost anything. It's mm-hmm. my tithe to humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a reminder of who you really are every day.
And It is very, I mean, I receive them, obviously, and I've been for the last 2 years, and they are blessings. I mean, it's not only their doingness and why they're called blessing, but truly, when you read them every morning, it does remind you you're divine. If you get up every morning reading that, you go to work, and you have this spirit in that is can hold you the whole day and remind you at every single point that connection is never blocked, truly blocked or gone. It's there, and it's true. I'm here to totally witness it and speak for it. Thank you so much for those.
Oh, well, you're welcome. And if that is all that I do, you know,
okay.
If that is all that I can do every single day, then I can say that I've lived a life well spent here.
Definitely.
And that I added to the light that was destined for this place and this time.
Mm-hmm.
So
there is within our own individual contract a need to serve humanity, to serve others, because of the remembrance that we are all one, right?
Right.
Yes.
Right, and we're growing into that more and more,
mm-hmm.
and that's one of the precepts of Science of Mind. There is only one here.
Mm-hmm.
We are all, you know, like the seeds inside a pomegranate. It's one fruit, but when you open it up, there's all those different seeds. It's
mm-hmm.
the same concept.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one, and so it is. If you make your life better, and if you make someone else's life better, then that just adds to that oneness factor.
Very cool. Because we are right now getting to a crossroads where there is this true collective consciousness that is growing exponentially, and that we are going. I mean, it's inevitable. We are going to. Towards more awareness, more consciousness, bigger, wider, greater. So somehow it means that there's more people as well who have embodied and truly claimed that that connection to the whole.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
mm-hmm.
We have, I was going to say we have a short time to get there, but it's not, I mean, 2012 is when we turn the corner, and
mm-hmm.
we really begin to anchor for the next 60 years this mm-hmm. new era of mm-hmm. evolution in this
mm-hmm.
In this place called Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is, people are turning, they're regaining, I don't want to say turning on, let's say they're regaining
mm-hmm.
an awareness. Of their soul,
mm-hmm.
their own soul identity,
so,
all the time. And we're being supported by the cosmos. You know, every
mm-hmm.
Monday I do my energetic read of what's happening for the Earth as a being
mm-hmm.
For the week. And because we are supported and we live on this being that's the Earth,
mm-hmm.
it often... whatever energy she is having to deal with for the week, we also have to deal with. And so if
mm-hmm.
you can just be aware of those frequencies and vibrations, then perhaps you can work with them. It's just another
mm-hmm.
awareness. And it makes your life a little easier because, like I was saying before, in human form, when something becomes unknown or unfamiliar, we move right into fear and doubt. And we are in times where we're evolving so quickly
mm-hmm.
that a lot of people are having physical symptoms, you know, dizziness,
mm-hmm.
headaches, pains in their stomach, and they don't understand why. And part
mm-hmm.
of it is that we are evolving and moving into more light and the love vibration and the oneness vibration so fast
mm-hmm.
that we're changing it all the way down to the physical level. And so if you can just understand that, oh, some of these physical symptoms are because I'm actually changing from a carbon-based being into a crystalline-based being, which is a higher frequency and vibration, then you can just kind of go with the flow.
Very cool. So when do you have like a toolbox, I would say, that you give to your students in terms of helping them towards this growth of consciousness on their individual level?
What I use as that toolbox, I really do use the science of mind teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Science of mind is a spiritual philosophy. It was started by a man named Ernest Holmes in early 1920s. And he authored a book called The Science of Mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the foundation that I use. That
mm-hmm.
was when I found that book, I was having thoughts going through my head like, oh wow, the nuns talked about this, but they never told us how it really worked.
Uh-huh.
This makes sense to me. Here are the missing pieces. Ernest explained it all to me
mm-hmm.
in my journey. There's lots of material out there, and
mm-hmm.
I do use other supporting things, but I still foundation all my teachings, everything that I share, I foundation it with the science of my teachings.
Okay.
So, and I love that tool of treatment or affirmative prayer, because
mm-hmm.
the whole precept behind science of mind is going into deeper mind or subconscious mind and reprogramming what's not working for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the way
mm-hmm.
that we do that is by understanding and knowing who you really are, and then you use treatment as your tool to transform belief systems.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's a formula for all of that. And it takes a time to learn the methods, but it's time well spent. But so that's my toolbox. Science of Mind is still the one foundation piece that I like and that I stick with.
Very cool. Very, very cool. And so I guess it's been very, very insightful and very helpful, hopefully, for all of our listeners. And I thank you so much, Angie, for being my guest today. It was very deep, and anything that you wish to add, anything that event that you are on the go to do right now around Virginia Beach?
Do I have any goals?
Well, or events that you are doing, like any work that you are proposing?
I am, oh gosh, we always have something going on at the center. Currently, my time is being divided between being a mother and being a teacher, because I have an older son who is, having some health issues right now in his physical body. His soul is using his physical body as a tool to get him more connected to his eternal self. But anybody can go to the website, Aileen, AngelaParagoff.com, and I'm sure you'll have a link on your site to it.
Definitely.
You can go to the website, and you can sign up for the Morning Blessings, or you can go to the events and the workshop pages and
mm-hmm.
see what's happening there. And I did a beta online class, a test class, over the winter, and so we're perfecting that. So I will have online classes coming up.
Yay.
In the fall. Yes, for people that are long distance and then want to be able to do something. So we're I'm editing that and putting finishing touches on that so that it will be ready to go by the fall of this year. Yeah.
Very interesting. Very, very interesting. Thank you so much for your wisdom. Thank you so much for your insights. And everyone who wants to get in touch with Angela, then again, www.angelaparagoff.com. If you get on my webpage at BBS Radio Conscious Fitness, you will be able to find the link. And anything that you need to ask, I would say to Angela, can get through me, and we'll be redirected to towards her. Fantastic hour. Thank you so much, Angie. And we'll get back with you listeners next week with another show with a fantastic writer, author, co-writer, a brilliant mind who has so many things to teach you about how unleashing this hidden creative power that is just lying there and asking to get out. So if you want to know about your creative side, then log on bbsradio.com/consciousfitness/next week on April the 1st, which is not going to be an April Fool's, and you learn everything about it. Thank you so much, and enjoy your the rest of your day. Bye.
Every time I try.